Thanks, Don. Hey, everybody. I don't know if they have this this saying everywhere, but it's certainly one they have in the South. I've been busier than a one-armed paper hanger. I've been busy, 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 busy. So I really appreciated hearing the song that that Don played. It's really simple. It's really simple. There's not a lot you got to do here. You know, it's not about making sure every single little thing is done. It's not about the life of the organization. It's not about making sure every tip gets covered thoroughly. It's not, you know, it's really simple. And that is love God, love people. Just chill. So, having said that, Aggie, I have several communications that I need to send out to you, and I will, in response to our ongoing conversations. Connie, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to see some folks here. When we first came on the air here, nobody was here, but you, me, and Don. So it was a little scary. I thought we're either gonna have to teach ourselves,
right? Which we're always doing anyway. Well, I saw what you're talking about, and I thought, what did we say last week? We ran everybody off. All is well. All is well. All is well.
There you go.
Yeah. Part of the reason that I wanted to say how busy I was is because I have been ignoring you guys in the forum, not on purpose. It's just I just haven't gotten there this week. So I apologize for that. I trust that you all are posting. Every time I look, I just see amazing posts, and I appreciate your participation in that way, even when I'm not able to jump in there and participate as well. But no, it matters to me, and I will get there as quickly as I can. So we are going to look for your sharing on, let's see, we did lessons 47 through 52. And as you're well aware, we started our review lessons this week. Lessons 51 and 52 were review of the first 10 lessons. And we're also looking for your comments on NTI James. And no comments on the tip, please. No, I'm teasing. Comments on it. That was awful. No comments on the tips as well. But it is your time to share. So who would like to share?
Everybody has to share since there's so few of you here.
No, you don't.
I think I'm funny.
We can always stop early and play a Muji video. And you know, anytime we talk about filling in space, I talk about Muji because he puts out those great videos. You know, some are 15 minutes, some are 18 minutes, some are 30 minutes. So you can always find a Muji video to fit. All right. Anybody want to share? Yes, Dawn.
So I'm just trying to open my homework here. Bear with me. I was hoping to get to it before. I was thinking maybe someone else would hop on. Okay. God is the mind, which is lesson 45. Is that too soon too?
Yeah, it's we start with 47.
Okay, I'm way off.
No, you're good.
Did I even?
You're pretty cute though.
Lesson 47, God is Yay! The strength in which I trust.
Yay!
As I practice the lesson throughout the day, I remember to rely on God. This is what came. So you know how it asks, relative, you're supposed to ponder the thought that it gave you, which is God is the strength in which I trust. So it really let my mind just like, okay, whatever related thoughts come in, and this is what came in, just thoughts that seem to, you know, jive with it. I'm in such a perfect today. Jive with it. Who says that? Okay. I choose. I'm laughing at myself.
Oh my God. Joy, 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 down in my heart.
Down in my heart. Okay. So, and I love this, what Regina used to say. Now, I don't know if she would say this anymore, but she used to say this once upon a time. I choose to trust, trust. I love that.
Yeah.
It's like trust is kind of like love can be, where it's a noun and a verb.
Mm.
I love that. Okay. And God is omnipotent, which means all powerful. And that really came in for me the previous lesson too. I wrote, I know God is in me. because God is in me. This is the jump. This is where the jump happens. Ready? You ready to jump with me? Because God is in me. It feels kind of funny saying this. His omnipotence is or must be in me as well. And I even threw in the word always. Wow. Even to say that's like, what did you just say?
Yeah, you're afraid you get struck down by a lightning bolt or something, right? Yeah.
Let me read it again, and let me read it without all that fluff. Okay, so I know God is in me because God is in me. His omnipotence must always be in me as well. As I let go of egoic thinking, which is wrong-minded thinking, I can see now that this opens me up to what is already here, already now, which is any power that I may need to solve any situation. God is the answer. The answer already is in him and thus in me because he's already in me. Ego is the problem maker. The answer already is, as I let go of the problem maker, the blocks that were blocking the miracles that God would have me have, those blocks are no longer there. The ego made the blocks and is the block. Thank God for saying that what I truly am is not inadequate. What has been the cause of the inadequacy is the ego itself. And I even wrote a little exclamation mark there. Ultimately, we get to live in the mystery and then get to see that it is, that's what we are. We are the mystery. I am vibrantly alive. I wrote it this way. I am a vibrantly alive mystery moving in the now without boundaries, steadied in the groundlessness of being.
Wow.
All right, letting go.
That's awesome, Dawn. Thank you for sharing it, really. There's a couple things that I want to comment on. That came out of your sharing. And one is that, and we were joking about it, lightning bolt's going to strike me, you know. But it's interesting that we are making a transition here from our old way of thinking to our new way of thinking, which is the truth. And to go, wait, I'm all power. I mean, it sounds blasphemous, right? But that just shows you how deeply entrenched we are in that I am separate from God, and how dare I say that we're the same thing or that God is in me. So it is funny and it's fun, but boy, doesn't it tell you where we've come from and where we're headed to? Yeah.
Yeah. If you were a pilgrim, are you hearing me?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Okay, if you were, good, thanks. If you were a pilgrim, we'd have to burn it to stake.
Yeah.
Because it would be so blasphemous, right?
Yeah.
And people were always in trouble for being, being blasphemous.
Yeah, and you know, it's really interesting that A Course in Miracles is going, we're one, we're all one, you are God, God is you, but it's still somewhere, it seems to reinforce those ideas. You're all one, but God is separate and more. You know, I mean, it's just weird. And I just think it's because of our old habits. So,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And well, Don, you're right. Jesus got in trouble with that too.
Yeah, Don.
One little thing I want to note that nowhere in this, I think where people get in trouble with it is when they think, like, it's only me. Like, I have it, and you don't. No, that's not
exactly.
I'm coming.
Yes.
So please, everyone.
Nobody thinks God that.
I do not think I'm better than anyone else. And if anything is special about that, it's because we all at the same time are. And really, if you think about that, then you're not really special if everybody else is, right?
We're all special. Yeah.
Way to see that. Yeah, you aren't special.
That's also an excellent point, because when we say the father and I are one, we're not saying the father and Dawn are one or the father and Jacqueline are one, right? Because it's the Dawn and the Jacqueline that is the confused mind, that is the mistake. Yeah. Aggie, did you want to add something? You look like you're getting ready to unmute.
I'm trying to find the chat button, too. I'm just not good at this Zoom thing at all. But I did want to mention, too, there, you know, I think that some of the confusion when we're talking about God and ourselves is we think that God is like a person, right? Like we, that there is some way we can contain what God is. And, you know, it's just we really don't know. We just really don't know. And the words that even like the Course or any teacher uses, is it's limited because it's part of this construct. So, you know, in some respects, I think we need to just let go of this idea that we're ever going to truly understand.
Well, and that's an excellent point. Sorry, I interrupted your point. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Well, it's an excellent point, and it's, I think it's one that Dawn made as well, and one that we saw in our tips this week about living in the not knowingness, being willing to live in the mystery. Because if you say God, define it, and then try and merge with what you've defined, that's not going to work. Yeah, yeah, that was the other thing that I wanted to say about what you said, Dawn. That idea of living in the mystery is just really, really helpful. Yeah, Shauna.
I'll go. Let me make sure my volume's up. I also wanted to add to that that it's not the person that is God, that is one with God. And that's where a lot of my, especially the Christian friends say, oh my God, how can I be God? You can't be one with God. Well, no, it's not the person Shauna that's one with God. It's so interesting to realize the oneness is such an inclusive. It's everything. It's not just you, me, I. It's everything. It's the environment. It's the world. It's love. It's the complete acceptance of everything at a very deep level. So on lesson 47, which we did for 2 days, which is fabulous. I love spending more than one day on these lessons. God is the strength in which I trust. And that is the inner wisdom which I trust. And this is so huge for me right now is learning to transcend looking outward for everything, looking outward for confirmation of what I'm thinking is correct, which of course that's just reinforcing the illusion. But that's what my thinking mind does when I'm upset, as I'm going to go out there, I'm going to go find it, if that's real, if that's true, I'm going to find proof. And that's what continues that reinforcing of the illusion. And instead, just let all that go and come inside. What does the inner teacher say? Just love that stuff. And then, of course, lesson 48, there's nothing to fear. Oh, my gosh. When I read that, my little ego mind goes, oh, my God, please, there's all kinds of stuff to be afraid of. Are you nuts? Then again, go inward. That's where there's nothing to fear. And God's what the next lesson for you, find God's voice speaks to me all through the day. Inner wisdom, right? Going inside. So, and lesson 50 is sustained by the love of God. It's all inner wisdom. So thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you for pulling all that together that way, Shauna. Yeah, that's perfect. And I found that in doing these the summary tips for the review, that's exactly what I've been being brought back to again and again and again. You know, the inward focus as opposed to the outward focus. Yeah, Aggie.
So I guess the biggest thing for me this week was Christy started posting on the forum her conversation with the Holy Spirit, or I'm not sure if she uses that word to refer to it, but with spirit.
Right.
And so I really kind of got inspired to give it a go myself. And I guess I have done it in the past, but I really had some wonderful clarity that I got from doing that process. I think it was lesson 49 was one, but I guess today's was the one that, if it's okay with you to actually read it, it was
like, please. Yes.
I just thought it was great. So this was the review of 6 through 10. So I opened with, Holy Spirit, please help me, join with me as I contemplate these lessons again. So lesson 6 was, I'm upset because I see what is not there. This is becoming evident to you now. You see your thoughts clearer now. See how much you slip into the past and try to live there. Do not feel guilty that you have been doing this. Stay present so you can learn the lessons that await you here. Your exercise of looking and thinking and feeling from your heart center is helpful. Each sigh is a release of the old, making way for the new. And it was really cool because it was like, as thoughts came up, like, because right there it was like I let out this big sigh, and I've been letting out sighs now for like a week. It's like, for whatever reason. And it's like, as the thought came into my head, this came out. 7 was, I see only the past. And of course I was thinking, this is repetition from the, didn't we just answer that one, the lesson before? And I got, repetition is good. These are important lessons to observe and marinate in, as Mukti so often says. Begin to doubt what you think you see. Hold it lightly. The ache in your heart is it stretching past its binding, because I was feeling like a tightness in my chest.
Cool.
8, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. Now it's funny. But how soon do you forget? It's good not to be so serious, and yet be devoted. You can be happy and yet love with all your heart. The past does not define you, like that song you love so much. The past were lessons appropriate for that time and moment. They mean nothing here and now. Now holds new lessons. Stay here with me. 9 was, I see nothing as it is now. This is a message to hold lightly all the world tries to show you, convince you of. You need not release it all right now, totally, but doubt it. Each doubt is a crack in the covering over your true eyes. You worry that you're getting it, and there's some pride that's rising up, which brings with it fear. Just let it go. It's been seen. It's okay to love yourself, truly. I love you. And I tell you, I still, it just brought me to tears. And then 10 was, my thoughts do not mean anything. Stay in your heart center. It's a truer compass than anything else you have now available to you. Your thoughts are not going to lead you home, no matter how much you think they will. Even what you write here means nothing if it is not felt from your heart. Do what you love, enjoy what you do, and continue to love everyone you meet or think of. And then I close with, is there anything else you'd like to share with me or ask me to do today? Nothing anyone else says or does means anything about you. Whether they praise you or criticize you, it means nothing. It will delay your return home if you think it does. So when those thoughts cross your mind, let them go. Sink into your heart and remember the truth of who you are. Repeat and repeat again until you feel no attraction or repulsion to the thought. And no worries. I am with you always. Just ask.
So very sweet. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Very, very, I feel it.
yeah, it felt very sweet. It just
it does.
Yeah, it was great. So I'm so, well, I know Christy does it because that's what you guys train us to do. But, you know, I don't know if Christy's in the room or not, but, you know, many, many kudos to her. And thanks so much for stepping out and showing the way, because it's really just fed my soul this week. So thank you, Christy, wherever you are.
That's awesome, Aggie. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for pointing that out and thanking Christy. Thank you, Christy. And I saw a couple of posts from both you and Christy in the forum, journaling with inner wisdom. And I really appreciate those posts because, again, that's that what we were just talking about, that shift from the outer to the inner. It's also what we were just talking about. It's funny because we might be a little nervous about writing with inner wisdom and who the hell do I think I am? And, you know, come on. But again, it's that coming from, you know, that resistance to writing with inner wisdom is that coming from that solid belief that I'm a separate person, separate from spirit, separate from God, you know. And so this really helps you merge into that viewpoint, that understanding, that knowledge that, no, there's nothing separate. Right? That writing with inner wisdom doesn't mean I'm channeling some, you know, something from somewhere else. I'm writing with my inner wisdom.
Yeah. It, you know, that struck me when Dawn read her piece. And I think I wrote something about it in one of the other journal posts that I did. And that idea about pride, because there was, it was like, as I was writing it, there was like this, you know, this feeling of, oh, look, this is, and it was, I could feel it immediately. And that's where then the response came, just let it go. You know, yeah, it might be there, see it, let it go. So, but yeah, there's a little bit of like, you know, something in that ego thought system wants to feel special. So yeah. There is that, you know, that comes up.
It does. For everybody, I understand. Certainly for me, I've heard Adi Ashanti talk about it. I've heard numerous teachers talk about it. That's part of it. That's, you know, that's just part of the walk, the transition from, you know, ego thinking to true thoughts. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I also really appreciated when you started reading, and it was so... whatever the first few lines there were, I didn't write them down, but it was so personal to you. That really resonated with me because of this idea, and all of these ideas we're going to be looking at when we review James tonight. But this idea that you are the leader in your own awakening. I mean, who else are you going to listen to? Not, God knows, not to me, you know, not to Regina, not to Muji. I mean, you can, you know, all of the people who are teaching are giving pointers, but you're the leader in your own awakening and you know the path home. That's already been set.
And you know what was really interesting for me, especially today, and I think that's why it kind of stood out a little bit. It was like, as I asked the questions and even as I started, you know, typing this as I'm doing it, my mind would think these other thoughts and then there would be, I didn't write, but the answer would come. It was really weird. It was like an internal dialogue was going on there. Even though I didn't feel like I was speaking, I can't even explain it, but it was really interesting. It's like and some things that popped up were because there was a thought that was in the corner of my mind. And then the answer came out about that. So it was interesting. Very interesting.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you and congratulations and all of that, right? It's awesome. It's awesome. It really is. Yeah. To open up that pathway to our own inner wisdom. Brilliant. Lulu, hey there.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you, Aggie, for sharing. There's I guess there's no blueprint, right? I mean, you could be, there's no order in this, right? Would you say? And
yeah. Yeah. Well, and Course tells us that each person's journey is highly individualized or something like that. But yeah.
I'd like to share, when I sat down and journaled, I asked, what do I do now? Relax, breathe, look at your surroundings, observe the sounds, the birds, the hum of the refrigerator, relax your body, drop deep down, breathe in, breathe out. I am here inside your fears, dancing, the Lord of the dance, the King of your heart. You are my gift, beauty, my hands, my heart. I will never let you go, holding, swinging you in the arms of melting love. And I just want to share that I almost don't want to share because I know this is being recorded. I feel like I'm dying and I am so healthy. I recently lost 30 pounds and I mean, I feel like I'm dying or I'm melting. I feel like I'm melting and something's like telling me to like in the horse whisper. I don't know how many times you've seen it, but in the end when he directs the girl to stroke the horse when the horse finally laid down and he instructed her to stroke the horse all over. And I feel like I'm being like, something's telling me to like drop. And it's really scary. Mm. It feels really scary to me. And I feel like I'm melting. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a trick of the ego. And like I feel like this, what, you know, awareness, watching awareness. I love that he talks about, if you could do this 12 hours a day, do it. You know, like yeah. That is what I needed to do. Because I feel so guilty when I just kind of sit down. I mean, when I sit down, 100 things come to mind, mm-hmm. what to be doing. And you can't really tell your coworker. I work in human resources. You can't really tell your coworker that you feel like you're melting today, you know? So, and I just want to share that. And maybe, I don't know what's going on. And I don't
know, there's a real possibility there, Lulu, that, I'm melting. It makes me think of the Wizard of Oz. I'm melting. and you're just melting that ego. It's just starting to melt away.
I'm melting.
Oh, what a horrible world. Or whatever it is. I'm with Connie. I think it's a good thing. I mean, and thank you for sharing, despite your qualms about doing that. I think that what you've discussed is as you were saying, it's two or three things that you said. I'm like, oh, that's what James talks about. Oh, that. So, you know, and it's that trusting in yourself, trusting and trust. Somebody said a while ago, you know, you've just got to trust the process, and it is highly individualized, and it is going to feel different for everybody. I think we're all going to have similar elements, like we were just talking about with the pride thing, you know. But it's going to be different for everybody. And if you're following your true desire, which we know you are, then there's nothing to fear. There really is nothing to fear. Sometimes it may feel good. Sometimes it may feel bad. Sometimes you may go, am I doing this right? And the answer mm-hmm. is, yes, you're doing this right. And your path will unfold before you, however it unfolds. And you just need to trust in that. And also remember, you know, not only are you the leader in your own awakening, not only is God's strength or the strength of the true self yours, you're also surrounded by your mighty companions here. We got you.
All right.
Aggie. Go ahead, Aggie.
In understanding purification, there was a couple of references today to Adyashanti's Resurrecting Jesus.
And, it's a great book.
It's a great book. And I read it a while back, Lulu. And, I think a lot of times we're kind of given this idea that the spiritual path is going to be like pixie dust and everything's going to be great. All you got to do is find the right mantra, you know, sit in meditation long enough and everything is going to be just hunky-dory. And he explains the spiritual life. I thought that the phrase I used when I read it was sober. And And it, I think, is a truer understanding of all the uncovering that we have to do. So, and I don't know you that well yet, Lulu, but I know for myself that, you know, the perception I bring to the experiences that I'm having, as stuff comes up for me, you know, like memories from a long time ago, and I get to see them, I've kind of made a shift so that I can now look at them as saying, instead of thinking that there's something wrong there, I'm looking at them like this is a gift. This is, you know, these are my opportunities to heal something that I haven't been able to heal up until now. So I think there's, you know, it just it seems like we're doing something wrong because we're not peaceful. We're not joyful all the time. I don't think this is just me. And, you know, Jacqueline and Connie, jump in if I'm overstepping.
No, I think you're right. Were you through? I'm sorry. I realize I'm interrupting you.
But I just think that, you know, the trust is really the key thing, you know, and to really, really try and, you know, sink into our hearts and realize we are loved. We are all, each one of us is so loved. Yeah. What could come to us, but what helps us?
Yeah.
And the only thing that gets in our way is when we get confused and start thinking crazy thoughts.
Yeah, I must be doing this wrong. Yeah.
We are loved. And whatever is coming to each one of us in our lives is exactly what we need to be seeing exactly right here, right now. Just hang on to that.
It's amazing how these lessons are right on time. Thank you, Aggie, for everything that you said. But, you know, that's what this talks about. When we began awakening, the path was set for us. The path, our particular path, right? Because we're undoing everything that we did in the first place. That path is set. And so don't get confused in the middle of it and go, what the hell's going on here? Because it's all perfect. It's all going exactly the way it is. It should be. The other thing I want to say is what kept coming up for me when you and Aggie both were talking is this analogy to, like, you know, you've got a glass of water that has mud in it. And if it's been sitting there here on my desk for 6 months, the top of it, it's going to look pretty clear, you know, because the mud has all settled to the bottom. But when I start churning up that mud, it's going to look kind of dirty for a while, right? Until I get all that removed, take all that mud out of the water, and then it will be clear again. So this period of bumpiness is the dredging up of that mud and cleaning all of that out. But it's all perfect, and you're not doing anything wrong. Yeah. Three. Peace out. What are you telling me?
two means peace. Three means willingness.
Ah,
that's the willingness sign.
I love it. I love it. It's great. It's great. Well, let me ask you, you guys, and we're a little bit over. Hopefully, we have. I think we might have a little extra time tonight. We'll see. If we don't, then I'll do something different. I'll run short on my part. But I wanted to ask you guys, number one, how awareness watching awareness is going for you, your awareness watching awareness meditation. Well, just tell me about that first. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? We talked about that a lot last week. Yeah, Dawn.
I think listening to one of Regina's talks not too long ago where she was saying, it's so hilarious because Michael Langford, he researched to see if anyone had taken the name awareness watching awareness. There's probably a reason why no one took it, because Regina goes on to say you can't watch awareness. like cannot compute what's happening. So then it's like she goes on to explain the best way to look at it is being aware of awareness. you can't actually watch it. Like she used her finger. I think she was using an example of her finger. You can watch your finger. You can watch, you know, whatever, your face on the screen right now. And she said, you can't actually watch it. So the actual term is very misleading. But if we were just to step back and say, being aware of awareness, for me, I don't know about anybody else, that is more helpful. I'm not able to sustain it for very long periods of time yet, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Awareness, aware of awareness would be much better than awareness, watching awareness. And I thought, actually, I appreciate you bringing that up because I was listening to that program or was in the room when she did it. And I thought it was actually very helpful and thought the gentle healing folks ought to hear it. But I can't remember now what was that her Tao Te Ching?
I do believe so, but I'm not 100% sure. I can go back and look, but it is definitely, I think it was Tao Te Ching.
It's helpful. Maybe you and I can figure it out together and we can post it in the forum and let people look at that. Yeah. Or listen to it. who else? Was it the Tao Te Ching, Shauna? This past week?
April 3rd.
The April 3rd, yeah. Tao Te Ching. You can find it under Gentle Healing. No, you can't. You can find it under Audios and Videos, Regina Dawn Akers, Tao Te Ching, April the 3rd. Dawn, do you feel like getting that? Thank you. Dawn's gone to get it for us now. So, yeah, I thought it was really helpful. How about everybody else? How you doing with awareness, watching awareness?
I'm the same way as Dawn. I think that seems like that. It's short-lived.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Aggie.
Well, I'm not sure whether I'm doing it right either. But for me, I have found that by pulling myself back, you know, kind of like the space behind my head, and I it's like as I'm sitting here seeing my hands, seeing, I don't see just like one thing. I see everything. To me, that's me being aware of what I'm being aware of. So it's kind of like a step back. And I find it kind of drops me down a level. So, I mean, we talked about it in purification earlier today too. It's like when I can't meditate, you know, something's going on and I need to step back. Literally, that's what I do. I get into that place where I'm watching. Something is watching what's going on. And I'm aware of my body. I'm aware of this space. I'm aware of the people that are here. But I'm not in the movie. I'm sitting, I use the analogy a lot of sitting on the couch. I'm watching, but I'm back there. I'm not. You know how when you really get engaged in something, you're almost like you zoom in, right? You become, mm-hmm. You start to cry when the characters cry and you're worried when they're going to go close to the cliff and all that. That's like, that's our normal way. So it's like this right. Stepping back, sitting on the couch, I'm watching and I can see what's going on. And I can even see that there's something in this personality that wants to do this, that, or the other thing. But I'm still back here watching what's going on. I can see that Aggie's getting pissed off. I can see that Aggie's getting scared. But it's back there. And it just really helps me to, you know, deep breath. So that's helpful. And that I tend to be able to do that for longer periods of time. But I still bleed into the story or I get all of a sudden something happens and I'm back in the movie again. But so it's been helpful to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good. I got to tell you, I need to switch something here because my internet is very unstable. I need to make sure that Tom's not on, not streaming the Netflix movie or something and maybe unplug the Fire Stick. So I'll be right back.
I do something quite similar. I see my body parts, and I see that it is a part of the larger setting, a part of the room, and that helps me step back and feel like it's awareness, watching awareness. I also do that sometimes when I look through my glasses. It's like looking into another. It's like looking through a portal. And sometimes I can do it in my car. It's like when I look it through the windshield, it's like looking through a portal. So those are some of the things that make me feel like I'm awareness, watching awareness. And like I'm talking about, just watching those body parts.
Glad you cleared your throat. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't hear anybody.
Well, I just got finished talking.
All right. We're only 15 minutes behind, but that's cool. Y'all ready to go on to the next thing? Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to review our lessons. And Connie and I thought this week we'd do something a little bit different. You all probably know that we alternate writing the tips. And so we just thought we'd each give you the highlights from the tips that we wrote. So, Connie, that means you're up first.
Nope, you start with 47, Jack.
No, you wrote... Here, we're going to argue about this. No, you wrote, God is the strength in which I trust. A Course in Miracles, Jesus says, remember nothing that you taught yourself or you were badly taught. Remember?
Okay.
That was the one that's the one that disappeared. Yeah, it disappeared from
the one you sent to me, right?
Yes. That post disappeared. I'm going to have to repost lesson 47, our tip number 47. I don't know. I must have deleted it, Dawn. I don't know. I was shocked when I went in today. Yeah.
Okay, so our lesson 47, God is the strength in which I trust. And, of course, in Miracles, Jesus says, remember nothing that you taught yourself, for you were taught badly. I think that's just hysterical. Similarly, in today's lesson, Jesus is teaching us if we're relying on our own strength or wits or judgments, you're in error and you're not serving yourself well. NTI concurs and says, what you have not realized is that you battle joy by thinking your own way. And by laying down your own way, you will find that joy awaits you. in lesson 47, Jesus says, think of those things that cause you fear. Think of those things which make you feel inadequate, and then rest in the joy and the freedom and the release that comes from knowing that you don't have to fix the problem. You don't have to find the answer. Simply have to know that there is something in you that does know. And when you move in that direction, in the direction that you believe that you're guided, you are moving with that trust. And NTI says, the Holy Spirit says, I ask for trust because I reveal things to you one step at a time. So we can lay down that burden. You can know that the individual you has every reason to be intimidated by the world's problems, but you don't, because you're not relying on that individual you anymore. You're not putting your faith in it. we're putting our faith in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is that part of us that's aware of all the facets of any problem and knows how to resolve them in such a way that only good can come from them. Oops. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Okay. Thank you, Connie. I caught some of that, not all of it. I'll tell you, my internet keeps saying, you know, your internet's unstable, and I'm like, no kidding. But anyway, thank you. Are you all hearing me now? Because you all look locked up right now. So I'm guessing you're not hearing. Are you hearing me?
We were, okay, but you got frozen for a second.
Okay. All right.
Looks good now, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think it may be that everybody just got home from work and they all just turned on Netflix, you know, so they're all drawn on the same tower. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what we can do here. Okay, so then there's the one I want to look at here is day two with lesson 47. And in talking about what Connie was just looking at, really what we're talking about is a shift in the way we relate to the world. We're shifting from trying to control our world to experiencing it from this open allowance awareness. And this is where we started talking about living in the mystery. And we looked at Adi Ashanti's article, Freedom in the Unknown. And he's talking about this living in the unknown, this living in the insecurity, that's freedom. You know, you're not bound to your old ideas. You're not, you know, you don't have to have things go a certain way. This is freedom. This is what we're looking for. It's not what we're used to looking for, and it feels uncomfortable, but this really is freedom. He says here, the unknown is more vast, more open, more peaceful, and more feeling than you ever imagined it would be. And in fact, than you can imagine, because that's not how ego works. Ego wants to put everything in its, you know, in its box and then make sure nothing moves, right? But it's more than you could possibly imagine. And Adi Ashanti says, if you don't experience it that way, it's because you're not resting there. You're still trying to know. You're still trying to control it. So if you don't expect that, if you don't experience that uncertainty as comforting, it's because you're not really resting in it. You're still fighting it. You're still trying to choose security over freedom. I noted here that really what's going on in consciousness, said the currency of consciousness or the energy of consciousness or the way consciousness works is this felt sense of what is, not a knowing. I know this is this way, this way, and this way. It's a felt sense. And we're trying to get, when we do our awareness, watching awareness, we're trying to get in touch with the felt sense of being. Not here's what I know and here's how what happens next fits into that no. It's really trying to get in touch with that felt sense of flowing with life, which is what life does. It's not stagnant. We can practice that awareness being aware of awareness, this practice living in the unknown by just stepping back and saying, "Who sees this?" Right. Who sees this thing I think I see? Who hears this thing I think I hear? What does this really feel like? Instead of going rainy, hot, you know, instead of defining everything and then living in that defined world, that's the way we separate ourselves from our actual experience. And that's what we're trying to move away from. Okay, Connie.
Lesson 48 is there's nothing to fear. Of course, the reason there's nothing to fear is because what was said in the lesson previous, God is the strength in which I trust. More and more we have an awareness that our true identity is spirit. So we stop believing that we're a person in the world. And even though that's scary, like Jacqueline was talking about before, that mystery unknown, It is our natural state. So we're beginning to step out of the world, and we got to know that because our mind is the cause, that we're never going to be the victim of the world. So we need to hold our self realization out as our goal, and that way we begin to detach from the world. And that way we begin to realize that there's nothing outside of us. Our goals are consistent with God reliance. And my decisions are no longer based on what's happening on the screens or the values of the world. I guess what the problem with all this is we're still uncertain about spirit. We're still uncertain whether we can trust in God's strength. It's seen as a risk rather than an opening. And then the Journey Beyond Words addresses this, and he says, God is within me. God himself is within my being. God's strength, God's love, and the light with which I see are deep within me. They never leave. And all the power of my imaginings cannot make it go away. Truly, there is nothing to fear. I'm not hearing you, Jacqueline.
Did you mute me, Don? It's all good. It's her job. That's what she does. It's great. I really appreciate you ending with that from Journey Beyond Words, because that's exactly what we've been talking about this week. You know, it's like I chuckled when you said, although I had highlighted in your lesson, the problem is we're still uncertain about spirit. Can I really trust spirit? Can I really trust myself? I mean, it's the same question, right? Isn't that funny? It's coming at it from that really enmeshed in that belief that that spirit is something separate than us. Of course I can trust spirit. It is me, right? So it just shows you the way we're still coming from. That was exactly the point I think that Bryn Haskell made. And then this next lesson, frankly, builds on that. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. Can I trust spirit? Can I trust God's voice? You bet I can, because I'm hearing it. It's not like I got to, say some special incantation or meditate for exactly 45 minutes. No, that voice is there all the time. That inner intuition is there all the time. Don't forget your keys. No, don't pull into that lane right now. You know, and then you see the guy who come barreling by that would have killed you had you been in that lane, right? I mean, this voice is there all the time. And so all we need to do is listen for this voice. And generally, it's not going to be in a voice, although with our journaling, we may very well get it in words or transmuted into words once we hear the idea. But that voice is there all the time. It's not something separate than what we are. It's not. And so it's always, always consistently there for us to draw on. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to do any special thing to get it. We just need to listen for it and listen to it. And so that's what this God's voice speaks to me all through the day is about. So that takes us to lesson 50. Connie?
Yeah, actually, lesson 50 I got it from the one I'm going to share today is from Regina. She wrote me an email. And so lesson 50 says, I'm sustained by the love of God. And Regina wrote, What does I'm sustained by the love of God mean? What is I? What is God? The mistake that many of us make in reading the lesson is thinking is to think that I is the person with all the perceived needs, and God is the entity that has some magic powers that's going to take care of all those personal needs. But when we believe ourselves to be people, we also believe our thoughts. We believe if God is relied upon enough, that will somehow make for a better person and make us safe. But this keeps us stuck in the idea that we're a person. I and God are literally one. The purpose of spirituality is to have an experience of the truth. We want to see ourselves, which is beyond the person, and realize that nothing can affect it. That's the purpose of awareness, watching awareness.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Connie. Yeah, so we're so again, I think we're right back, you know, where we started talking about that this evening. You know, they're really there's no separation, guys. I bet that's the first time you ever heard that. But we're really coming to have that experience to really get it beyond where we've got it before. Yeah. So. Yeah, I just really appreciate that. And there's not this God and this, you know, there's God, here am I. It's just not the way it works. And we're beginning to get that. Now, what I want to say about, and Connie may feel the same way about lesson 52, about lesson 51 is I want to look at the instructions that we gave you for these review lessons, because I think that's where it's at. The idea is, again, just like what we've been talking about all night long, it's developing that personal relationship with the lessons. Not having somebody tell me what A Course in Miracles means, because that's not what this is about. This is about what's my personal relationship with these lessons. And so Connie and I, for the past 2 days, have demonstrated our relationship with those lessons. So in the morning, what we do is we sit and we write the lesson, and then we write what that means to us. What's that mean to Jacqueline? What's that mean to Connie? Or what's that mean to Dawn, you know, or Aggie, or anybody here in the room? Just write that down. Write that down. Now, I can tell you that it's very, very helpful to write that in terms of, you know, it's not like, well, people think they should, I think. Jacqueline thinks, or Dawn thinks, you know, I think I am whatever, stuck with my past or whatever it is. But to write these lessons in terms of for yourself, your own little mini tips, so that you can review them the rest of the day. So what does this mean to you? And that's what we're speculating that Helen was doing in these review lessons. And that's what we want. That's what I want to do for myself. And that's what I want each of you to do for yourselves, is to write your own little mini tips and then go back over those throughout the day. Okay. So, yeah. So so I don't feel the need to go over any of those here. Does anybody have any questions about that? Anybody finding that difficult to do? Okay. Dawn. come on over here and I'll play. I was going to say I'm never playing poker with you, but that'd be wrong. Come on over here and we'll play some poker. You show everything on your face.
I have no poker face. That is one of the drawbacks about me, and I'm super animated and I just can't. I can't.
Well, that's
one of my flaws.
Just bring a wallet full of money, honey. All right. Connie, is there anything else you wanted to say about that? 51 lessons, the review lessons?
No, I wanted to say that, yeah, I didn't feel the need to do 52 at all because Aggie did such a good job with it earlier.
Yay. All right. I'll be glad when we have 2 hours to do that. Oh, and I didn't make that announcement. Dawn said I would, and I didn't, although I wrote it down. Not next week, starting on the 23rd, we are going to be meeting half an hour earlier. I'm looking for my notes here. Yeah, we'll meet at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, which is a half an hour earlier. That's made possible by Shauna, who gave up her teaching time, and we rearranged things. So thank you, Shauna. But that'll give us more time to do what we need to do here in this class. We'll have 2 hours instead of just the hour and a half. So, yeah, that starts on April the 23rd, not this coming Tuesday, but the – is that the one after? That's one after. Yeah. But by the way, Dawn will be leading this class, this group, next week. Thank you, Dawn, for doing that. Connie and I will both be in retreat, in silent retreat, so we won't be able to do that, be here. So thanks again, Dawn, for stepping up and doing that. Okay.
And I just wanted to say, Sean, I hope since you've given up that space, you're going to continue to come to the class nevertheless.
Okay. She'll be here, except next week when she's also in silent retreat.
Okay.
All right. So we let me go over James and see how much we have, because we definitely need to be able to get to both James and Inner Romana. So here we go. Holy Spirit's interpretation of James. I'm going to hit the highlights for you, folks, what I saw as highlights. NTI James chapter 1. Trust your, and by the way, this is on page 419 if you want to try and follow along, although I don't know if it'd be extremely helpful because I'm going to jump around. It says, trust your own mind, for it does know the true desire of your heart, and it will rest that your true desire may be practiced. And, you know, again, we looked at that this a little bit while ago. It's like, well, what if I can't hear God? Or what if Holy Spirit wants me to do something that's not in my best interest? You know, remember who we're talking about here. Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit, my inner wisdom, right? Trust yourself and trust your thinking mind will get out of the way once you signal to your thinking mind you want it to get out of the way, right? It's not something, it's not a battle. It may feel like a battle at times, but it's not genuinely a battle. It says here, trust yourself, for it is one. And its true purpose is only one. There is no division within yourself. There's only the illusion of division. An illusion is nothing at all. So there's no real battle here. And the idea that you're going to have to battle ego for control of your mind, your destiny, your willingness, that's just not true. It's just a matter of making that choice. It's that simple. There is nothing to battle. So trust yourself and trust that. It goes on to say, put faith in your truth by trusting your true desire. Listen within with true desire as your focus. In this way, you shall know what to do. Always know what to do. So it's like, I'm confused. I can't hear God. I'm, you know, ego shouting so loud. I can't look for true desire. That's the guiding light. That's the beacon that will lead you and let you know what you need to do in each moment and every moment. I can't hear it. Yes, you can. again, put faith in your truth by trusting your true desire. And we're all clear. We wouldn't be here if we didn't know what our true desire was. So just trust that. This is on page 420. Remember to use all things to practice the true desire of the heart. For with practice and focus, your true desire stands clear within your sight until the naturalness of your being is as natural in your awareness as true desire is now in the quiet of your heart. So again, as we talked, you know, at the beginning of this, when we were talking with Lulu about, you know, whether that we're doing this right and if this doesn't feel right and all of this, there will come a time when this being this way, being led by true desire, is as natural as whatever feels natural now, right? As whatever, you know, as our habitual way of being feels now, right now, that kind of feels natural. To run with the thinking mind, to go look up all this research on the internet when it tells you to do, you know, to, all of that feels natural now. But as we're consistent, then it will be natural to look inside and go. And this, gosh, guys, this is my experience. I used to say, you know, inner wisdom would say, oh, ask me what to do. Ask me what to do. And I'm like, yeah, but I can't even remember to ask what to do, right? But it does. The more, you know, willingness is like a snowball. The more you do it, the easier it gets, and until it becomes natural, until that becomes your go-to position. I don't know what to do. Well, let me ask you, inner wisdom becomes your go-to position with consistency, with repetition, with practice. It's noted here that God can be denied through your desire to do so. Well, first of all, let me back up. God is the truth within you. We've been talking about that all night. It's not something, somebody else. It's not something else. God is the truth within you. God is. But God can be denied. Your true nature, your holiness can be denied through your desire to do so. But here's the thing. It's like, just pay attention. That's not your true desire. That's your old desire. That's what you used to do. And that's what we do because we're tired and we don't feel like, and it feels like hard work and we don't want to really, you know, focus. And that's the denial of your truth. That's the denial of God. Just, again, refocus. What's my true desire? It says, God can be denied through your desire to do so. Do not be unaware of this desire. Be mindful of it. It is there within your mind, but it is a false desire that lingers from a moment of the past. In your weariness, you follow it, inhabit. But in your alertness, you remember to place this worn-out desire aside. So that's it. Be aware what you're doing. Don't go on autopilot. You know, the Course says, Jesus in the Course says, you're much too tolerant of mind wandering. That's what it's talking about. And again, here at the bottom of page 420, do not merely listen to my words without practicing what I say. You know, and boy, do I do that. I write these beautiful things, right? Inner wisdom, and I sit down and write these beautiful things. And thank God I get to teach from my journal on Wednesdays, because when I read on Wednesdays, I go, oh, I didn't remember writing that. So it's not enough just to receive the wisdom. It's not enough to receive the wisdom. It really requires practice, discipline, and practice. On page 421, the point is made. You are the leader of your own awakening. You are the leader of your own awakening. It says that in a couple places here. You are the leader of your own awakening. It's not going to happen. It's not just going to, oh, it's going to happen. Oh, look, what just this fell out of the sky onto my head. No, you are the leader in your own awakening. You make this happen, and you make this happen by consistently following your true desire. Let's see. You are the leader of your own awakening through the spirit that does not desire the ways of the world, but humbly desires freedom from those ways. And so it does not reach out to the world, but it watches and accepts, knowing and trusting that the path it is on, is its own path, unique to you. Its own path to enlightenment, because the path that is being walked is the path that it has already chosen and given to itself. You're not messing up. And to think that you're messing up is a misperception. It says, look well within your mind and see your misperceptions. See that you have put your trust in them, so that even as you walk this path, which you've chosen for yourself, you don't see the path, and so you misperceive. It is your misperception that causes you to suffer. Again, it's like this trust. You know, everything seems like it's turning up on end. All this mud's coming up from the bottom of my glass. Trust. The path has been chosen. Keep your true desire and focus and trust. Even if it doesn't feel right, you know, even if it feels like this feels worse than when I started, gang. Trust. trust in yourself and your leadership, and you will see the value and joy in all things. Yeah, so if you keep your eye on the prize, it will be clear.
On the prize.
Yeah, keep your eye on the prize. Same thing here at the bottom of page 4422, James chapter 3. Be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. Be aware of the goal you have chosen and hold it as a beacon before you in all things. Let all decisions be guided by the light, and you teach yourself consistently that you are the light. Trust yourself, and you will go, I'm so glad I trusted myself. I mean, right? You just see it just every time you place your trust in yourself and your true desire, it's proven out. Right? The proof's in the pudding. It notes here that your thoughts are derived from your conscious desire. So don't run on autopilot. Keep your true desire. Be consciously aware of your true desire. It says that. Be therefore aware of your true desire within the consciousness of your mind. Keep it before you, and true desire will easily lead you to the point you desire to reach. And so it says, well, what is the test you should give yourself to see if you're currently following the beacon of your true desire? Ask only this: what do I want now? Do I want them to respect me, or do I want to awaken? You know, do I want that new car or that new house, or do I want to awaken? What am I using as my true desire? What, you know, just be conscious of what you're asking for. You're not guilty, but be conscious of what you're asking for. It says here, if you find that you want anything other than know thyself, you have also discovered that you veered off course. That's it. Oh, I just need to, you know, GPS. I just need to make a course correction here. Take this moment to reconnect with your truth, and you shall also be redirected in the direction that you shall go. James chapter 4, again, making this point, you always receive as you have asked. And you ask through the process of creation through your desire. That's why it's so important to be aware of what you're asking for. Be aware of what you're desiring.
I think that's just really critical, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, what do we call that thought we hang out or hold out in front of us?
Our true desire or our spiritual aspiration.
Our spiritual aspiration. You know, sometimes to step through the fear. And then when I go and find myself in a situation going, well, should I say that or not? Well, that's not necessary. And you talk yourself down off that ledge instead of going, no, your true desire is to step through that fear and be about it, because that is my true desire. So I really hear what you're teaching. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate you putting it that way, because it also says in here, if you just ask your heart what your true desire is, it's obvious. You know.
Yeah.
You know what your true desire is. Right. Yeah. So I'm gonna give this up here. James chapter 5 says you're only pretending to suffer. I love that. And if you follow your true desire, that's following your joy. That's where your joy is. So, and then Connie, I'm going to turn this over to you so we can read. And if you feel like you don't get it because of our limited time on this love of discipline, it's exactly what we're talking about. This isn't just going
to. I was going to say, I don't think I really have to do this love of discipline. It's a keep your eye on the prize, and this is a path you've chosen.
Yeah, and you can, if you don't do it, you're going to continue to suffer. And it's not that's not a threat. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it works. All right, Connie, read it to us, honey.
Yeah. So I figured this is probably written for me.
Can I just say real quick? I'm not sure that everybody has this information because it's in our curriculum and they may not know it. This is from Inner Ramana. This is the chapter called The Love of Discipline.
Yeah. Yeah. And the first line is more true for me than the title. The first line says, discipline is a dirty word to the mind. And it has been a dirty word to my mind, but, I'm starting to see the, I'm keeping my eye on the prize. So discipline is a dirty word to the mind. It screams lack of freedom. It's and control, and it makes us think that we're being forced to do things we don't really want. That's the mind's interpretation. we're asked here to who is the I that has these ideas?
Hey, Connie, do you mind if I interrupt you, honey?
No, please.
I think maybe if you'll just, if you don't mind just reading it, might be most helpful. And then if we need to stop and comment, if we have time, we'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you, dear.
Discipline is a dirty word to the mind. It screams lack of freedom, control, and extends ideas of being forced to do things you do not really want to do. But I ask you to look at the idea of discipline again and ask, who is the I that has these ideas? Who is the I that feels beaten down by the idea of discipline? Right now, it is as if two I's live within you. It is time we begin to look at the two I's now. One I is the false thought, the false idea of who you are. The other I is best described now as your true heart. One reason for learning the difference between the two I's is so you can learn to distinguish the difference between the I that speaks for what you want and the I that sounds like you, but in truth, it is an imposter. Let's look again at the idea of discipline.
Yeah, Connie, can I stop you? Yep. Just want to say that's what we just looked at in this James chapter 1, right? We think there's two eyes. We think there's a battle going on, but there's really only one. The imposter eye is the illusion, and there's not really a battle, right? You agree?
Yep, absolutely. I have told you that discipline means consistency. You know that you want the consistent experience of God without end, without distraction. And you also know that consistent practice brings this experience. So you see, you love it. You are grateful for it. You want with your whole heart to embrace it. It is the false I that wants to throw this idea away. It is the false I that resists and tells you that you hate discipline. This is why it's helpful to question the false I thought that poses as you. This thought is literally an obstacle to the experience of self. This false identification is everything that stands in the way of you knowing you. And if you continue to listen to it and continue to believe it as if its statements are your thoughts, then you continue to miss out on the experience of your truth. The I thought must be questioned, and it must be seen that this thought isn't you. Let's talk about the love of discipline. Discipline is like a roadway lined with beautiful flowers and trees and green pastures to a destination that is literally more beautiful than your imagination. Who wouldn't want to take this road as they travel, and as they travel, embrace every moment of the beautiful and amazing journey? This discipline, it is consistently applying your devotion. It is lovingly loving your love. It is giving yourself exactly what you want. Questioning the I thought that disagrees with discipline is like checking the map to make sure you don't leave this lovely road for a dry and dusty and bumpy one that heads off into the desert away from the lusciousness of your love. follow your heart is more than just saying, when you can hear your true heart calling, follow your heart is literally following a beacon home. And it will lead you there straight away if you remember that the beacon and the true eye are one.
Okay, thank you, Connie, for reading it. I wanted to make sure that we read the entire message, so I apologize if I disrupted your rhythm. So I want you to go back and tell us what you wanted to emphasize in that reading, if you'd like.
Well, I think pretty much you emphasized it before. It's the false eye would say, you know, that would say what I'm doing right now with you and preparing these tips and trying to teach and trying to learn what it is that I'm supposed to be teaching, and that's all that's overwhelming and just too much, too demanding. But there is something that's deep down within me now, that a restlessness almost that's subsiding as I'm participating in this, that doesn't feel like I'm squandering my life anymore. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's giving it purpose, and I do feel like I'm following my heart, even though I'm stamping my feet all the way going, oh my God, I got to write this another tip. but I really am truly grateful for the path, that path that's been chosen for me, because it's certainly not one that I would have thought I would have been on teaching consistent general healing. In fact, Jacqueline the other day said something like, talked something about year two and year three, and I went, oh my God.
There's 3 years?
There's 3 years? There's not 3 years of course lessons anyway. So once again, while I'm screaming and kicking the whole way, I really am grateful to be sharing in this experience.
Yay. Yeah. Sean is clapping. Regina was clapping a moment ago, by the way. I don't know if you saw her. When you said whatever you said, you know what you said. I'm grateful for that too. And you know, it really is, as we're writing these tips and that sort of thing, you really do have to dig in. And that's what's so great about this review week for all of us to write our own little mini tips is, like, do I know what I mean when I say God? Do I know what I mean when I say I? Do I know what I mean when I say is, right? So we really get to dig in there. And certainly as facilitators for this class, you know, we're tasked to do that all of the time. Sometimes we do it better than others. But the only reason that we're tasked with doing that is because that's what we all need to do. That's what we want everybody to do, is to really dig in there beyond the concepts and go, what does it mean I rely on the strength of God? Or, you know, what does my mind mean? Or what do my thoughts mean? So, you know, so this gives all of us the opportunity to really dig in there and find out those places where we've been spiritual bypassing, you know, where we've been using shortcuts instead of thinking.
Yeah, or spiritual ghosting, is sometimes it's called.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is great, and I think you absolutely summed it up, Connie, with what you said. The I thought must be questioned, and it must be seen that this thought isn't you, the one that's going, I don't want to do this. That's not really you. It doesn't represent your true desire. Yeah, that is the imposter. That is you. Yeah.
Aggie wanted to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aggie. Please go.
Well, Lulu suggested. This is a little bit off topic, a little bit, Lulu suggested that it would be nice for us to get together and read NTI.
Yeah. So we met about that in leadership, and we may do that down the road. Go ahead. I mean, I just wanted to know that was one of the to know that's one of the topics that I wanted to talk to you about.
Yep.
There's a couple of things that have to happen before we do that in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
But so that's coming.
What I was thinking that we would do when we get it all together, of course, we could use the sanctuary, but we could use FaceTime in the meantime.
Do you really want to start it one way and then switch to another? I think maybe. So what we've talked about doing is doing that in what the other two leadership committee people are here. What we talk about doing that in like 3 weeks or something, right? There's some other things that need to occur first.
Yeah, I think what we were thinking about is that's an excellent idea, and other people may want to join. So we want to select a time. And we want to have a little bit of time to market it so that people can be aware of it, so that if they want to, they can jump in at the beginning. So that when she says down the road, she just means a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, just enough time for us to get this well organized and well communicated. And also, Aggie, you would need to be trained to be the administrator of the Zoom room. So you'll have to get with Don to do that. But we think it's a great idea.
Okay, so Lulu, mm-hmm. You're cool with that? Because it was really Lulu's idea.
Yeah, it was just more like anybody want to get together and read. It was kind of like that was the vibe of that. But I like the little buzz around it as to welcome.
Thank you very much. So we'll put it off for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and Aggie, that's one of the things I owe you an email about. So So we'll follow up with that. And thank you, Regina, for being so clear. About our intentions.
Okay.
What about homework?
Yes, homework. We have homework. Let me tell you what it is. It is to do workbook lessons 53 through 59. And again, when you're doing your own review lessons, write yourself those mini tips in the morning and then go back to them each hour throughout the day. Read our tips. You should read it, obviously, after you write your own tips. After you write your own little things you're going to be with during the day. And then homework assignment C is to read NTI Romans, chapters 8 through 16, which is pages 270 through 285. Thank you.
I started reading that, and it's just dynamite.
Yay! Don, by the way, thank you for posting the homework in the room. The other things are do your awareness watching awareness meditation. If the lesson allows for a period of meditation, you can use that time for it. If it doesn't, then you should be adding on an extra 5 minutes or more to practice awareness watching awareness meditation. Keep your journaling up. If you want, you can journal and share that in the forum, and I will do my best to pay more attention to the forum. I will mention again that I'm out all next week on this silent retreat. So if you see me ignoring you in the forum, I'm not really ignoring you. I will be there as much as I possibly can.
Have a sweet time.
Thank you, Lulu. We appreciate that. Yeah, we're really looking forward to this this retreat coming up this week at the retreat house in lovely La Vita, Colorado. Connie, do you have anything you want to share before we go?
That retreat's kind of like this lesson, the love of discipline.
The one that says you can't make me, you can't make me, you can't make me.
Okay, a diet, I'll do it.
It's going to be great, transformative, guarantee it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for letting us share. Thanks for participating. It really means a lot when everybody participates. We've got a great group here, and it's really wonderful. Thanks again.
Good night. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.